Luke 12, 13 to 32. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge and arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, yet God feeds them. Well, how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you're not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Thanks, Steve. You can't take it with you. If I had to sum up this morning's scripture reading from Luke in just one sentence, that'd be it. You can't take it with you. We've got only a limited time together on this earth. And when it's done, it's done. Everything you build, accomplish, learn, accumulate, it's all going to be dust much sooner than you can imagine. That sounds like bad news. It's the kind of news that the author of Ecclesiastes, one of those books in the Old Testament, you're like, "I can't believe they didn't throw this one out, but I'm so glad they didn't." He cries out, "Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." It's this reality of limits. It's the inevitable mortality that we all run up against when we start really thinking about life, about the future. The teacher of Ecclesiastes says, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun." Whatever we set out to accomplish is just a repetition of an old pattern. In the immortal motto of the science fiction series, Battlestar Galactica, this has all happened before and it will happen again. This sounds like bad news. We can't control anything. We can't make our mark. Or if we do, it's like writing our names in the sand, just below the high tide line. There's nothing new under the sun. Death awaits us all. From Solomon with all his riches and power and wisdom to the common person with none of these things. It's just a matter of time. This sounds like bad news. But in our reading this morning from the good news, the gospel of Luke, Jesus presents this world's meaninglessness as a reason for joy. He tells us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What is the kingdom? What is this reality of living, struggling, and dying in God's presence? What can transcend the utter emptiness of life revealed to us by the wise teacher of Ecclesiastes? Jesus talks about treasure in heaven. What is that? What is this purse that Jesus is talking about? What is this bank account in heaven that never runs out, which no wolves of Wall Street or stock market crash can threaten? This is the good news. The good news is that this world really is meaningless in its churning, frantic motions to accomplish something, create something, get something. The good news is that this world of anxious grasping is not our home. There's a deeper life available to us, a bedrock reality that we stand in through Jesus. There's something solid beneath this world of shifting sands. The good news is, do not worry. You can't take it with you. And you don't need to. The Father has chosen to meet you in your nothingness and give you everything. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. That's good news. Because now that we've come to the end of our ropes, we see that everything is possible for God. Taken on its own, everything is pointless. But standing in the life and power of Jesus Christ, every single moment is revealed to be filled with meaning, joy, power. Every drop of rain, every fallen leaf, every smile, every moment of pain, every setback, all things open themselves to us as a gateway, a window, a sacrament to partake in the very life and being of God. Everything is meaningless. Yet in God, every moment is the body and blood of Christ. You can't take it with you. You don't need to, because you already have it. Jesus Christ is here. Listen to him. On this, the first Sunday of Advent, let's prepare ourselves to receive him, the Word made flesh, the cosmos made meaningful, the words of life spoken into our hearts when we abandon ourselves to the immediacy of his love.